On this episode, we smoke the Persian King Type Mod 60 from Honduras. I'm your host, Johnny Midas, and you're listening to Burnline Podcast. Burnline Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom.
So we're following up the Roman Empire with the Persian Empire.
That's correct. No, Persian was first, right?
The point is, we're fucking awesome.
Right, okay.
It's just empire after empire. You are listening to Burnline Podcast.
Keep that in.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages over the age of 21, we are coming to you not live from the hot box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davidus Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA, the only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland. I am your host, Johnny Midas.
And I am El Fubo.
And we are smoking the Persian King Type Mod 60. First of all, hold that stick up.
Yeah,
look at that. That is a big, fat stick. All right. And it is got some claims to fame, but a little bit about the cigar. Looking at it, you can see the two colors on the wrapper. That lighter color is Ecuadorian Connecticut, and the rest of the wrapper is Nicaraguan Habano over, Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler. Sounds strong, but we'll see. And this is a 6x60 Diademas, but kind of not really.
Smells good out of the box.
It does. It was kind of like toasted manure.
Mm-hmm.
It's good smell. Although I still have 2C premium coffee on my fingers.
Yeah, it's like same.
Anyhow,
somebody donate a coffee maker to us.
This is made by GR, well, Gran Habano.
Gran Habano, yeah.
And they're at the GR Tabacaleras Unidas SA. And that's Honduras. But we've got Honduran smoke. And that's one of the reasons why it's a good deal. So this retails for $8.99 here at Davidus Cigars in Westminster. Definitely more affordable.
Yeah.
So in Maryland, that's equivalent to like a $7.50.
Yeah, yeah, that's unfortunate. But hey,
yeah,
it's still affordable. Damn, $9 for this much tobacco?
It's a big chunk. A lot of Honduran cigars are discounted just because they're less popular. Like Dominican and now Nicaraguan. Everyone's all over them.
Yeah, but people sleep too much on Honduran. Like, seriously, I got some Honduran news for you later. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right. So here's what's cool about this. Now, this came out in 2022. So, you know, this isn't a new release, but you may not have heard of it.
No.
First of all, it comes in this treasure chest box. You know, there's no cello, and they're just nestled in tobacco leaves. So I love cigars packaged that way.
Dude, you can
I know,
afford to go to Honduras.
You open the lid, it smells like a fucking tobacco farm. Oh
my God.
Now, here's what else is cool. You'll notice this is designed to smoke from either end. Now, I call bullshit before the show starts because I know rollers, and they will tell you you bunch and roll the cigar so that it gets tighter as you smoke it instead of unraveling. And everyone that I've talked to, they do not know of a way where you can smoke a cigar backwards without it falling apart and unraveling.
Hmm.
So I have no idea if we're going to pull this out. So I'm calling bullshit, and by default, you're calling not bullshit because we have to disagree with each other.
That's right.
And so we're going to find out. Bold claim that you can smoke it from either direction, but you can see on the inside of the lid, it explains you can smoke from smooth to bold or from bold to smooth. And you are going to put the torpedo end in your mouth and light the other end and experience smooth to bold. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is that smooth to bold?
Yeah. So if I light the parejo end, smooth to bold.
Okay. So you're lighting the parejo end and putting the torpedo in your mouth?
Yes, correct.
Smooth to bold. And I am going to put the parejo end in my mouth and
smoke the torpedo end.
Light the torpedo end, which is bold to smooth.
Correct.
So we're going to find out.
We'll see. I like the diagrams on here.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. And I don't know, like for basically a budget stick, it's cool. Presentation's cool.
I'm almost thinking we might be doing the wrong thing because if they're recommending a punch cutter and a V cutter and not a traditional cut, that might be
they don't want it to unravel.
I think that's the thing. But yeah. I am not more of a fan of a straight cut. So,
well, we are both going to straight cut. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so if they unravel, then I win. Yay. Yeah. No, you might be very, you might be right. They might be recommending. But honestly, on a 60 ring gauge, I would never, ever, ever punch it because you're going to tar in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to tar the shit out of that. So
if you do a V-cut, well, you can't do two V-cuts on the torpedo, but you can on the Parejo to do the X-cut.
Well, you would need a fucking deep. You need a Calibri deep. What is it?
Yeah, the deep V.
Yeah.
That fucking $90 hunk of steel.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a robust, but
it's a great, great cutter if you like V-cut, but it's the only one I know that would actually fucking work on that.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we get this cut and lit so it's a cigar show after all, so we can enjoy it. And the official cutting is brought to you by Fat Boy Cigars. The bold and delicious flavors of premium hand-selected tobaccos are highlighted in the original Jacked and Jacked 2 from Fat Boy Cigars. Don't forget to try the War Pig and Twist and Shout 2. And of course, Fat Boy Cigars has just opened their new lounge outside of Pittsburgh. So if you're in the Steel City, stop by and say hi. Drum up some business there. Couldn't have happened to better folks.
Mm-hmm.
Fat Boy Cigars, welcome to Fat Boy's world. And I am officially cutting with my Craftsman's Bench open-ended double guillotine. This is a J.C. Newman product. Is available for sale here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster for $29.99.
Yeah.
This is like the default cutter. And it's also very well made. But you've got,
I got
something special to highlight.
Yeah, something special to highlight. So this is a Lord Baltimore branded cutter by Lotus, commissioned by Monte Cristo. Ooh. So it's like a triple collab here.
Nice.
So yeah.
That is a Johnny Midas cutter too. Look at that. Like,
feel that weight real quick.
Yeah. Ooh, hefty.
Yeah.
And so, it's got the gold handles. I love the gray.
Double guillotine. Cool. By the way, nautical for the Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Baltimore.
Sweet. Yeah.
You can't see that on the cam, but.
Yeah, it's, not it's like stuff. Dark gray on lighter gray.
Yeah, that's cool as shit. So available here, only at Davidus. Davidus is,
and there's whatever 12,
the plural. Yeah,
Davidus's. Yeah, Davidus's. One of the 12 locations.
Right.
Uh huh.
So about $30, which is not bad. It's still Lotus at the end of the day.
That's so good for a Lotus cutter. Yeah.
That's what I'm cutting this
bad boy with. Yes. Okay. So I am clipping the Parejo end. You are clipping the torpedo end. And as always, remind you to clip that cigar with authority, no limp-wristed cutting allowed. And now we are tapping out the ash. A little bit of dottle on there. Big ring gauge.
Definitely tight there. Nothing came loose.
Still coming out. Still coming out. Okay. I'm good.
Yeah, I think I should be okay.
All right, it is time to light these cigars, and I am using my ST Dupont. This is the flat blade double jet, retailing for a cool $500, gold plated, not available at Davidus. In fact, I bought this one from England.
England?
Yeah, I've got a guy that sells me luxury goods out of England and actually gets me a pretty good deal.
Nice.
Something about how the tariffs work or something. Also, he's just a pro.
Better. And again, another feature, same thing, Lord Baltimore branded.
So that's the matching.
Yeah, triple that's flame.
A triple flame torch.
Lotus, again, commissioned by Monte Cristo.
Very nice.
And then it has the built-in punch.
Flip out, large bullet.
That's right. So that's what we got going on here. Nice and heavy. Rubber coating, too. Feel that.
Oh, yeah.
And then visible tank.
I love that big visible tank.
Large tank. I think you can get about 50 lights out of that.
And it feels substantial.
Yeah.
That is a nice lighter.
So that's what we're dealing with today.
All right. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious premium coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. I'm highlighting the 6-bean Bala in Mexico. Available at 2cpremium.com. The official coffee partner of Burnline Podcast. Featuring selected beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, Mexico, around the world. 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. Don't settle for the stale stuff. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us.
Let's go.
Let's go.
I'm going to try to be careful because we can smoke that Ecuadorian wrapper.
We're not all welcome. What is that? Is that your cigar that I'm smelling? Dude, it smells like weed.
It tastes fucking great, though. Get to it.
It does. It smells like weed, man. Can we put that on the show?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in Maryland. It's fucking 100% legal here.
I got to burn off enough that I can actually get some air to it.
Don't burn too much because that leaf actually burns super quick. Yeah, there you go. Going to get that char out of the way and then you'll get to that
cat. Okay, so there is a huge difference between the taste and the secondhand smoke smell. Because I will tell you, the secondhand smoke smells shitty. Smells like cheap marijuana.
Tastes a little bit of that Ecuadorian in the back of the nostril, though.
It tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't taste refined or anything like that. But you know what this tastes like? This tastes like Heart of Darkness. Like if you were in that book, sailing up the river in fucking Congo, or hell, Honduras, on your fucking, you know, riverboat, steam-powered, surrounded by testosterone, sweat, and ox. This is what the fucking riverboat captain is puffing on.
Yeah. Okay.
That's fine. It literally tastes like a jungle adventure. Okay, so if I'm talking actual tasting notes, there is a, I would say wood, very strong wood, little leather, and then there's some like creamy nuts, almost like cashews.
Okay.
A hint of pepper, but I think, you know, like it's going to pick up really quick. Right now I'm tasting this Dominican or this Ecuadorian, I mean, Connecticut. I think once I hit that Nicaraguan wrapper, all right, I'm probably going to.
Let me tell you what I'm tasting because I think we are tasting two different things.
Yes. You're going to taste this later and I'm going to taste that later.
Okay. All right. This is what I'm tasting. It's that slight Ecuadorian sweet in the back of the nostrils. A little bit of dirt, not dirt, but earth. Very earthy. A little jungly. Exactly. Vegetable. Yes,
it is jungly.
Yeah. And like unroasted nuts.
Hmm.
You ever have raw nuts?
Yeah.
Down in South America?
You're right. You're absolutely right. That's where the creamy is. It's the fact that it's not roasted yet. Okay, so I'm not a big ring gauge guy, but this kind of makes me feel like a big game hunter or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I like it. So this is a cheap cigar. It's a big ring gauge, neither of which is my wheelhouse. In fact, I just bought a couple of these Fuente, Double Chateau Fuente Naturals. So that sweet Dominican, you know, that's my wheelhouse. And I only got the Double because I plan on taking a road trip and smoking it for a long time. Normally I get the Robusto. I like small cigars. Anyway, this is not really my thing. I wouldn't guess it's my wheelhouse, but so far, actually, I really like it.
Okay. How's it? Yours is smoking pretty evenly.
Yeah, mine's smoking pretty evenly. Oh, look, I'm popular. And putting myself on Do Not Disturb, flawless execution, executed flawlessly, and flawlessly fixing all of our flaws.
You're two for two.
Yeah. The
past 10 minutes.
And the past 10 episodes. What can I say? Johnny Midas is a popular guy. All right, so we got lit up, and we have burned past the. Unfortunately, you do have to char the leaf.
Yeah, that sucks.
It says on it, don't clip the other end, but I think you should. I think you should make a starter hole.
Yeah, just a very, very
thin just a small layer. One, so that you can draw some air through your combustion.
Yeah, because you're smoking char.
Yeah, I would do it differently next
time. I think. Yeah, I would recommend cutting it. Oh,
and you are just past your Ecuadorian Connecticut part of the wrapper, and I still have a little bit left, but I'm basically past it. So let's see how this Nicaraguan Habano changes the experience.
So once I'm past that cap, there's definitely a difference, huge difference.
So I feel like my vegetal picked up.
Yep.
And the pepper picked up, and that sweet
Ecuadorian's gone.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Ecuadorian natural that Fuente puts on their natural cigars. So they use an Ecuadorian Sumatra, and that's what it reminds me. It's not Sumatra, it's Connecticut.
Okay.
Ecuadorian Connecticut. But yeah, I love Ecuadorian wrappers, man. I gotta admit, they're among my top fave. But I like sweet and I like mellow and I like, floral aromatic cigars. You know, if you're into like chocolate and rich, dark, heavy flavors,
Yeah.
well, like a fucking Maduro Connecticut broadleaf or Pennsylvania broadleaf, something like that.
This is just there. This is what Corojo, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the wrapper is Nicaraguan Corojo
Oh, and
Habano.
right, and then the caps are Ecuadorian Connecticut.
Yep. And then it's Nick binder filler.
Yeah.
Kind of undisclosed. They don't really say
Tell you
what.
what, you can taste that Corojo once you're past the cap, like instantly.
Yeah. I do like Corojo,
Yeah.
man. So it's what, Corojo 98 and Criollo 97 are the two real Cuban hybrids.
Tell you what, I'm getting a little bit of barn. Smells just like the barn.
I don't think I am, maybe, but what I am getting is an odd acidic sweetness.
Okay.
It reminds me of, man, it's going to be hard to place. It's sort of like when you have an heirloom tomato
Okay.
and you bite into it and it's acidic, but then like there's a surprising little touch of sweet in the background, but it tastes like a deadly nightshade. It's sort of like that, where like the vegetal jungle flavor
Okay.
and acidity reminds me of like a tomato almost. But like some tomatoes bite in, you're like, oh, there's a surprising little touch of sweet in there, but it's not sweet like a fucking banana.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of that. But it doesn't remind me of tomato at all, just that aspect of
Right, yes, with the characteristics.
it.
I want to say medium body at the moment.
Mine's definitely medium. Yeah, definitely medium. Which is interesting because I'm supposed to be going bold to smooth. You're supposed to be going smooth to bold.
Right.
I don't
So.
know. Do have pepper. And actually, you know what it is? It is roasted cracked pepper. Like when you put cracked peppercorns on the
Okay.
side of a steak and sear it, like that.
Yeah.
It's like that. All right, so you had a cutter and lighter. I am showing off this ashtray because this is fucking cool. It's gorgeous. So this is an El Septimo ashtray. And it has got like the Indian elephant motif. And it retails for $145 here at Davide Cigars in Westminster.
Was it made in India?
I don't know. This is the
Okay.
Safari collection. There's several in this collection to purchase. But if you're like Johnny Midas and you like buying nice stuff to surround yourself with when you're smoking cigars, El Septimo does a great job of producing, artistic, like artisanal quality accoutrement. Like, we look at this, Rocky ashtray that we're ashtray. This is just like your standard ceramic ashtray. This is a fucking gilded work of art. And all of this is like, raised. So
Ceramic, yeah.
it's painted on and then glazed over. Absolutely beautiful. See if I can get
So
the camera to focus on it a little bit better.
it might be handmade almost
It's definitely hand painted.
because of the. I'm only guessing. Do you see that imperfection on that
Yeah.
corner?
Yeah, it definitely is an art piece and a statement piece. And it just makes me feel good to have beautiful things like an ST DuPont or my gold bar lighter, or something like that. If you're into that sort of thing, that is a cool ashtray. All right, socials and surprises. Spotify feedback. What is smoking on this episode? The channels are silent. We are pinned down, Charlie. Send help. SOS. SOS. YouTube, no comments.
Yeah,
Some of
but
our,
we're locked. That's
yeah, I was
why.
going to say some of ours, they're not allowing comments. Fuck the
Reviews.
algorithm.
Yeah.
Facebook's rolling along. Surprised at the interaction there. Instagram, hey man, you guys got to interact. Look us up. We're at Burnline Podcast on everything except Twitter.
Yeah.
That's at Burnline Podcast underscore something.
You got to sweep the cobwebs off of that.
Yeah. Let me, you know what? Let me pull it up real fast. So X, Twitter, whatever the fuck.
Everybody still calls it Twitter and tweet because nobody says, I'm going to put an X out there.
Yeah. At Johnny underscore Midas. So there you go.
That's not Burnline.
It's not Burnline, but the Burnline logo's there. So Johnny Midas. Yeah, you can just look for Johnny Midas. Believe it or not, there's more than one of us on Twitter, but I am the fucking original Real McCoy. So don't listen to those other fakers. But anyway, not really anything. Emails, though. Got a request. Can you recommend some good summer smokes? All right. So let's touch on that briefly. Good summer smokes. The problem with answering that is it depends on your palate. It depends on what you are doing. And so here's my assumptions. Okay. I'm bringing to the conversation the assumptions that what you mean is you don't smoke in a controlled environment. If you're smoking in a lounge, who cares? Winter, summer, whatever, right? So I'm assuming that you're smoking outdoors or something like that. And because of that, maybe golfing, you're looking for something that's like lighter and, you know, you can be in the hot sun and not fucking murder yourself. That ties into our tobacconist tip later, right? Oh. So, and then, you know, there's what is your palate like? And then there's what price point are you shopping for? Right? So there's a lot of stuff that goes into answering that question. But I'll throw a few, you know, out there. I think that the brands that are out is probably like Padron, most of my father products,
Placencia.
Placencia, like those are strong cigars you want to stay away from. You also want to be very careful of Nicaraguan sun grow. For example, the Perdomo Habano sun grown. Classic bourbon barrel aged cigar, delicious, and it will sneak up and punch you in the face. And actually, I had an event, I bought a box, it was a bunch of guys, it was actually our grand opening day. So I'm handing out sticks, and we're smoking, and out in the sun, I got sick.
Oh,
I didn't, you know, like vomit, but I could have.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, and this was March, it wasn't that hot, but it was probably like 75.
Empty stomach.
Out in the sun. Well, no, it wasn't empty. There was alcohol in it. But, yeah, even worse.
Good hydration.
Yeah. So here's some things to look at. Also, I would also say be careful of a Connecticut wrapper because if it's not aged and fermented properly and it's bitter, that is not a great summer experience.
No.
So the Sober Mesa Brulee, awesome summer stick. It is light. It is sweet. It is not going to knock you on your ass. I would recommend that. That's kind of in the higher end category. More of the daily smoke category, the Arturo Fuente Gran Reserva natural wrapper. Sweet, light, aromatic, floral. And then a couple of other sticks.
Maybe a DBL Bellicoso.
Oh, the DBL Bellicoso?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of, I had one picked out specifically.
Yeah, Maria, yeah.
And I can't remember what I was thinking of.
You don't know what brand?
No.
Man, it's gone.
Yeah, I just lost my train of thought. Sorry, guys. But those are some summer smokes. I would say look for natural wrappers. Look for...
Shit. Something Ecuadorian wrapped.
Ecuadorian wrapper. Avoid
San Andres,
Maduro. San Andres. Now, an actual Maduro.
Yeah, an actual Maduro
is sweet. It's a little heavy, but it's sweet. But yeah, probably not the best thing to kind of look for. And I would say Nicaraguan sun grown. Probably avoid that. It is strong and peppery, especially Esteli region.
Yeah.
You can look for. Well, I was going to say Ometepe, but they're all expensive, so. And skip that. But a lot of your classic traditional Dominican cigars.
Yeah, you can smoke those.
Yeah.
The shade grown you can definitely go for.
Yeah, you can go for a shade grown. You just got to be careful for the bitter. It's not the end of the world, but
No.
out in the sun with a bitter cigar, to me, it's just,
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Done it before. Not a fan.
So now you could also look at something like the Monte Cristo Platinum, where it's got like a nice natural wrapper and it's kind of a medium bodied classical cigar. I think it's a bit steep for what you're getting, but it's fine. And then
The
an
fun place, man.
Abo Synchro.
Yeah.
That's a
I
good
was gonna
summer
say, you're
smoke.
a double chateau right there.
Yeah, well, I called that out earlier. Yeah, the Fuente Gran Reserva.
Hell,
Chateau
Hemingway?
Fuente.
Fuck.
Well, I think the Hemingway is a bit strong. It's a
Yeah, but
great cigar.
I don't know. I don't see somebody getting fucked up on it. Definitely a newbie, yeah, but not.
Yeah. A lot of Fuente products because they just make a mild Dominican
Yeah.
cigar or mid-body.
Stay
So,
away from
yeah.
Candela.
Well, I mean, I would
Okay.
say stay away from Candela regardless, but that's except the thin green line from Fat Boy Cigars.
Yeah, that was a great
That is a
Candela.
great Candela. I've actually
Holy
had that in
shit.
my humidor. I wonder if there's any still available. I bet they sold out of that one. Oh, fucking weird. Mine's going out. And you know how like that warm, not quite lit still tobacco has its own taste? This
Oh
had
yeah.
like a this had a taste of like if you took a marshmallow and wrapped it in a banana leaf and
Okay.
like held it over a campfire, and the marshmallow started like melting into it and the leaf
Okay.
started to char on the outside. It's fucking weird,
Nice.
delicious. It actually tastes better going out. You ever had banana leaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, like you had stuff soaked wrapped in banana leaf.
Yeah. Had cheese wrapped in banana leaf.
No shit.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome. I've never had that.
Oh yeah, I'll have to get you some.
I've had like meat and rice cooked in banana leaf.
When you go down south, man, you can get anything, just culinary wise. The fucking, yeah, it's an art down there. It's sad that a lot of the cool shit like that's not available up here.
Yeah,
So
you gotta like
weird.
make it a thing to enjoy like, different foods and stuff. But one of the reasons for that is outside of the US, the food supply chain is much more farm to table.
Yeah.
And so it's seasonal and it's local and stuff like that. And you can like you just can't buy shit the same way here. So, one of the things that I love about Europe and South America is they fucking kill meat and hang it up.
Yeah.
And you buy it in an outdoor market. And so it's actually decomposing and it tastes better.
Yeah.
Perfectly safe. There is
Yeah.
zero, like the amount of food poisoning is higher in the US. And we have these fucking factory farm,
Yeah.
antibody pumped,
If
animals.
I remember correctly, I believe in Mechanicsburg there's a giant that actually sells dry aged meat. I haven't had dry aged meat, but like,
Well, they put it in a cooler and they let it evaporate and it gets a way smaller and way richer. It's amazing. But so like the wrapped in banana leaf, it's like it's so hard to burn food. You wrap it in the banana leaf and the banana takes the brunt of the heat and releases
Yeah.
moisture.
Well, I mean, I've had pig roast. I've had, down south, yeah.
But it's just because banana leaves are everywhere and
They're thick.
they're thick, they're useful, and it's kind of trash. It's like recycling.
Yeah, I've had tamales wrapped in banana leaf.
So, up here it's like we don't even recycle and reuse. So, and I'll give you
No,
an
it's
example
so
of like
weird.
American waste in Brazil. They were making ethanol from sugar beets, but it's like they sell the sugar beet and then they have leftover basically the top of the beet, and stuff. And they're like, what can we use this for? We'll make ethanol.
Yeah.
Right? So it's recycling basically, using our trash. In the US, we're like, the government is going to subsidize you to grow millions of acres of perfectly good corn that you're then going to turn into ethanol. And it's like, Now, so there's a lot of recipes in this area that involve wrapping stuff with corn leaves, corn shucks, because that was widely available. And really, tamales are traditionally wrapped in
Yeah,
corn.
they are.
But other than that, so like wrapping meat in corn husks, very common in this part of the country. that would be like our indigenous food or whatever, you know. And you can throw that on a barbecue and it's fucking amazing. But yeah, I go out of my way to like make different dishes to sample, because I mean, life's too short, man. I'm not gonna eat a fucking fast food cheeseburger if I don't have to,
right?
You know,
that's America's delicacy, McDonald's cheeseburger.
All right, so this is definitely mid-bodied. I would say that the wood, there's actually cedar and oak in this, but generic wood, vegetal.
Mine's is very vegetally right now.
Mine's, it's dropped off a little bit, the vegetal, I think. But it's still there, and there's definitely pepper in it. It's like the back of the tongue. It's not even the top of the palate. It's like the back of the tongue. And like I said, it tastes like roasted whole peppercorns.
Getting cayenne and...
Yeah, touch of cayenne.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting right now. Yeah. I am smoking bold to smooth and you smooth to bold, right?
I am bold to smooth. You are smooth to bold.
Smooth to bold. That makes sense. Okay. So I don't know. I think it's true.
Yeah, yours is getting bolder.
Yeah, yours is getting smoother.
I think mine's getting smoother. I really do. Yeah, I actually do.
I wonder if it's not like those mind trick subjective things.
Okay. It probably is a little bit, but also like... I was thrown off at first because it was a lot milder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely just a mid-body.
Yeah.
And mid-strength.
There's definitely a difference for that cap.
But this is really enjoyable. Yeah, I wasn't sure it would be. Just looking at it, it's like, you know, this is a cheap cigar. And it's, you know, production packaging is cheap. And, you know, but it's pretty good. I'm surprised that I like the flavor profile. And it does remind me of, like, barbecue meat somehow.
Yeah, a little bit. Light smoke output too, both ways in the burn and the puff. I'm double puffing a lot. I don't know if you are as well.
Yeah, I have noticed that neither of our cigars are falling apart. But look, my wrapper is unraveling. So, like I said, you can only roll a wrapper one way.
So mine's is probably these are probably wrapped the torpedo way.
Yeah, well, you have to, because you can't start with the torpedo end. You know, or I guess you'd say that the other way around, but you know what I mean?
Right.
You got to roll that, the leaves together in the torpedo. All right. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll do our tobacconist tip of the week.
Okay.
Don't go away.
Everybody, Tom Cannon here for Davida Cigars at our very first Sip and Smoke Top Shelf Edition.
And
they're Covalent Spirits.
Look at that swag.
Limited edition, exclusive access. This is the very first one. It sold out instantly. You'll hear more about it if you follow me, Burnline Podcast, Johnny Midas and his gang, Covalent Spirits. But you want to buy it now. Bye.
And I'm here with Drew at Covalent Spirits.
How's everybody doing today?
And we are
serving up amazing. Some steak.
Little steak bites here.
With our truffle fries.
Top shelf Sip and Smoke. Johnny Mighty's here with Jen at Covalent Spirits. Thanks for hosting the Top Shelf Sip and Smoke.
Of course, this is going to be fun. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. We are having a blast, and we just looked at the barbecue steak, and we got our cigars going.
I know.
So thanks so much for hosting.
Oh, of course. Our pleasure. I hope you have a good time.
Thank you. And we are back on Burnline Podcast, Uncommon Cigar Knowledge for the Common Cigar Smoker, and we are smoking the Persian King Type Mod 60, and you can cut and light this from either end. Mm-hmm. That is a claim to fame. And if you cut the Parejo and smoke the torpedo side, you're smoking smooth to bold. Mm-hmm. And if you smoke the Parejo end and light the torpedo end like I did, you are smoking bold to smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're both doing it differently.
Yeah.
And we're going to see if it unravels, because if you smoke a cigar backwards, supposedly it unravels. And mine is a little bit. Right?
Yeah.
But it hasn't affected the smoke quality yet. And this features a Nicaraguan Corojo Habano wrapper with caps that are Ecuadorian Connecticut and has Nicaraguan binder and filler. Retails for $8.99 here at Davis Cigars in Westminster, Maryland. And it is time for the Tobacconist Tip of the Week.
All right. tip of the week.
And now your tobacconist tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
So it is summertime, and I don't know about you, but this past weekend was pretty brutal for us.
It was brutal. Heat dome.
Yeah. So about a hundo outside. Felt like a hundo in that sun. What is it? June? Actually, summer came late. I mean, it was at the start of summer, but like the heat came late, honestly.
Oh, yeah. We had winter than summer. It wasn't really a spring.
I mean, it was
2 weeks of rain.
It was 60 at 5 a.m. last week.
Well, dude, it was like 68 this morning.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird how we go hot, cold, hot, cold. It was nice, though. It was refreshing. But anyways, back to why I brought that up. So just some tips for outdoor smoking in this kind of weather, because it can be pretty dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So not only the heat, but like topping off a strong cigar while doing outside work or just being outside if you're like a heat person. Fucking weirdos. But anyways.
Like me smoking, drinking whiskey, and installing a railing on my...
There you go.
My porch.
Your front's pretty shaded, though.
Oh, and no, don't make this easy. This was not. I'm a fucking stud. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, we went swimming, so we were out in the sun. But anyways, my tip is when smoking in that kind of weather, just hot summer, especially if there's a lot of outdoor events like smoking events or smoking adjacent events, like Gettysburg's going to be having the bike week in about 2 weeks here and the 4th of July reenactment. So anyways, stay hydrated. Eat something while smoking, because even if it's a light cigar, you will get your ass kicked. It's a good way to pass the fuck out.
Yeah.
So
and be disciplined. Like,
yeah,
make sure you're staying hydrated, but also like don't chuff your cigar.
We'll get to
that in a minute. Don't inhale, just because you might be breathing heavy. You might be golfing or doing some kind of exercise.
Yard work. Just, yeah.
You know.
And it'll sneak up on you. It will sneak up. I've gotten a little dizzy.
Yeah, so pace yourself.
You're doing that.
Not and if noticing. You start to feel bad, put the cigar down.
Yeah, man. No, ain't nobody going to know.
Also, you can put it down and not let it go out. If you need to wait 10, 15 minutes to come back to it, just pick it up, draw some smoke in, push it right back immediately out of your mouth, set it back down.
Yep.
And don't breathe in through your nose while you're doing it. Good. All right. So we are going to talk this week about cigar smoking archetypes. So an archetype is like a pattern. So you have the archetypal villain in a DC comic book that is insane and belongs in Arkham Asylum or whatever. By the way, the new Lego Batman movie is fucking awesome. It's on Netflix. It is so goddamn hilarious. So it's narrated by Batman. He's like, he's like, I have a 9-pack. That's right. I have an extra ab. I mean, the whole thing. It's hilarious. So we have 6 different cigar smoking archetypes. Now, this is not about the person. This is not about where they smoke. It's not about their vibe or their habits or anything else. This is about how they treat the cigar, right? So it's like ways to smoke a cigar, but not recommended necessarily, just what we've observed, right? And so the first one is the chewer. And so you have folks and they're fucking on their cigar. Now, I have never chewed a cigar. Of course, some people think it's cool. You know, Clint Eastwood, I'm a fucking high plains drifter. You know, no, you're not. Just like, you know, Johnny Midas is just a dude.
Right.
Just because I'm wearing Versace sunglasses, you know,
yeah,
doesn't make me Versace, right?
Right.
But in any case, apparently some people really enjoy it. And Winston Churchill used to like let his cigars go out and just chew on them for hours. So maybe it's an oral fixation thing, like chewing tobacco or something.
Yeah. Plus Clint Eastwood wasn't smoking a cigar. I mean, he was, but it was more of a cheroot stick.
Yeah, it was a cheroot, yeah, for sure.
So it's like you can chew on that thing all day. I'm gonna go.
This one.
That's gonna unwrap and fall apart on you.
And just it's going to squirt tobacco.
Oh, yeah. Your mouth, you know? Tar. And, yeah.
And tar. Yeah, all of that.
It's not sexy.
It's not sexy, no. But there's the chewer. So if you are out there in the audience and you'd like to chew on your cigar, drop us a line, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com, and tell us why you chew and why you like it.
And maybe you're going to tell us mind our own business.
Or tell us that. Yeah.
Shut up.
But that's one of them.
Yeah.
And neither of us chew our cigars, so we can't really speak to it.
Nope.
Right.
I know plenty of people.
I know a lot of people do.
Yeah.
The second is the spitter or the slobber. So the most common that I see, and this is 50%, I think, of the folks I see smoke cigars, they spit while they're smoking cigars. I don't know why, but they'll just spit into a cup or something. Sometimes they wash it down by drinking something instead.
Mm-hmm.
But so many guys, and if they're outside, you'll see it immediately.
Yeah.
Because it's like a reflex. Hot to it. That's a meme.
That's a meme. There we go. It made it onto the show.
The Haktula.
Yeah.
Don't
sue us.
Now, it's not quite the same as the slobberer, but I just lumped them together. There's some people, they spit all over their cigar. That I don't understand because it wrecks the fucking cigar. You know, you get spit and shit.
You're ruining your cigar.
I mean, yeah, like, and it's going to tar. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
You will change the flavor profile.
Oh, big time. Yeah. I don't understand how the chewing doesn't do that, but whatever.
Okay, yeah. But hey, to each their own, you know, it's your stick.
Mm-hmm.
Do with it what you will.
So that's the spitter. Now, I used to be a spitter. And it was probably like in the first few years of my cigar smoking journey.
Okay.
Same. My mouth would develop saliva.
Yeah.
From the cigar. And I just don't like swallowing. And I would almost always have a bottle or a cup or something. And I would just, you know, I try not to be gross to other people. Yeah. These days, I don't produce nearly as much saliva. And maybe it's just my brain caught up with what I'm doing, which is I'm not eating the damn thing.
Right.
I don't know.
And I think it's just a natural reaction, especially when you're a beginner. Because I
think so.
Spitting a lot. It's just new. It's different, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we have the chewer. We have the spitter. And then we have the chuffer.
Okay.
This is the guy that just fucking inhales the cigar. It's right. They're just chuffing that cigar down. And that's their normal way of smoking. Now, I've done that from time to time, but it's because something else was going on. Like, I don't know. I was trying not to be involved in the convo. So every time someone looked at me, I just stuck my cigar in my mouth. You know,
don't ask any questions. Leave me alone.
Or, like, I hadn't had one in a while, and I was hungry for a cigar, you know, and then I get an inch in, and I'm like, oh, it's only been 10 minutes. I need to slow the fuck down. Yeah. So here's the downside of chuffing is the cigar burns hotter, and that does affect the flavor. So as a rule of thumb, the cooler you can keep your cigar without the cherry going out, the better the flavor, right? And there goes the ash. That was pretty good. What'd you get? Yeah. Like 2 inches?
Yeah, that was probably the biggest ash on the show.
Pretty good.
Damn.
Lots of tobacco to hold it together.
Yeah, this is holding tight, nice and tight too.
You are just a mess. Spilled coffee, spilled ash. Can I play with it a little bit?
Sure.
So that's surprisingly flaky. Yeah. That's better aged, I think, than I would expect.
Yeah, and look at how much green.
Yeah.
Aged very well.
Yeah. And let me take my sunglasses off so I can see the actual color. I don't really see yellow or green, which are bad signs. That's, you know, like
right.
Ammonia and shit. It's just like white and gray. It's a pretty good ash.
Yeah.
Huh.
Thanks for complimenting on my ash.
You have a nice ash. All right. Speaking of the asher. This is another cigar smoking archetype, and this is the guy that has an ash fetish. So,
I know a guy that's two of the
two or three of them.
Yeah, at the same time,
the archetypes. This is like Darth Vader, like driving the Batmobile. While you know, like he's multiple archetypes.
The Batmobile.
Oh, Batman is an archetype.
Okay, I was like, wait.
For the Machiavellian hero, yeah.
Okay.
I was going to get into comic book philosophy. I got you fucking covered, man. I will go all
day. We'll start a whole nother podcast.
That's another podcast, yeah. But the Asher, sometimes the Asher is the guy that tries to hang on to his ash forever.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody like that. No, but seriously, sometimes it's the guy that ashes all over himself and the chair and the floor because he's trying to, or not paying attention.
He just doesn't care. I think it's just does not care.
Sometimes, yeah.
I only hold on to the ash because of the show.
But yeah, but what really sets the Asher apart is like, anytime you look at them, you notice the ash.
It might be
the guy that's like, "Oh, I'm gonna have an 8-inch ash."
Or he's doing this right here. And you're pro.
Yeah, and it just, So yeah, the Asher. By the way, we are not picking on anybody out there. If you're an Asher, let us know why you're an Asher, and are you a rough Asher or a smooth Asher?
innuendos.
We could tell you what that's all about, but then we'd have to kill you. All right, so cigar smoking archetypes. The chewer, that's the person where they're like,
gnawing away at, legit gnawing away at
them. Yeah, and then you have the spitter.
No more spittoons at tobacco shops. What the hell?
Yeah, I think it's just like considered passe. I've been to a few that had them.
Really?
No, but somebody has to clean them out, and that just sucks. So right. I think they're like, use a fucking bottle here. Buy this Coke and spit into that, Then you have the chupper. That's just, he's fucking choo-choo training the hell out of that cigar, getting it done. You have the asher. They're collecting their ash. They're ashing every. They're fetishizing their ash. It's all about the ash. You have the slow roller. The slow roller is the person that's like, I'm going to savor every millimeter out of this cigar. It's like, okay, now I'm going to wait. I'm just going to smoke it enough that it doesn't go out, right? That is the slow roller. A lot of these folks, it's a real treat to them, that's just, they're here to just, I'm just slowly, it's like Zen, it's like meditation. All right, the sixth, and actually I have one more that I'm just going to add on, ad lib. But it really is an archetype. But the sixth one is the nerd. So the nerd is the one like me and you, where it's like every aspect of the hobby I'm going to take seriously. I'm going to clip the cigar with authority, no limp wristed cutting allowed. I'm going to tap the head so that, I don't get dotted in my mouth. I'm going to toast it, not roast it, right? I'm going to keep the cherry as cool as I can without it going out, really paying attention to the experience, which is what it's all about, the flavor. Nobody smokes cigars for something else, oh, let me smell the secondhand smoke. That's amazing.
Look.
Yeah. Well, it can be. But and then the last one that I just added this to the show, but I thought I should throw it in there, is the normal cigar smoker. And that's someone where they don't take anything too seriously and they're really just trying to have fun. And that doesn't sound like an archetype, but it really is. And the vast majority of cigar smokers are the Arnold Schwarzeneggers. They're just, hey, I feel good. I'm in a good mood. I want something nice. I'm going to treat myself a little bit. You know what? I might chew on it today.
Yeah.
I might lose my ash today. I don't care. I'm just here to enjoy a good smoke. Right? So I think that counts as archetype. So I'm going to throw it in. And we are smoking the Persian King by Gran Habano. This is the Type Mod 60, where you can light it from either end. And if you light the Parejo side, you're going smooth to bold. And if you light the Torpedo side, you're going bold to smooth. And we both chose a different way. So you're going smooth to bold. I'm going bold to smooth. And it is changing.
Yeah.
Right? For me, it is getting smoother.
Yeah,
but still vegetal and cayenne is like now the predominant flavors for me. And I'm in the second third.
That's where I'm still at, though. It hasn't really changed, but it's not like this is dumb or lame that it hasn't changed. It's really good, actually.
It's surprisingly good. It definitely has a, it's not refined at all. It's not smooth, but it has a fairly, complex jungly flavor.
Yeah.
That it just gives off this vibe, like I said, fucking Congo Delta riverboat captain, sweat, oxygen, testosterone, with this clamped between his jaw, trying to hit hippopotami or something like that, right? That's just what it feels like,
yeah,
right? Like, safari cigar. Not a safari though, like jungle. This is a jungle cigar.
I was thinking like, I mean, you might as well have gone with the Amazon thing.
Yeah, yeah. Indiana Jones, man. Like raiding temples.
And you still would have possibly hit a hippopotamus.
Stealing artifacts from the locals. You know, typical white boy stuff. But I'm actually really surprised how much I'm enjoying this because I'm not a big ring gauge guy. You know, I'm not really a Nick guy. Nicaraguan tobacco is pretty strong.
Yeah. But this doesn't feel like a traditional Nick.
It doesn't. It's medium body, but I will say, like, the cayenne taste, there is Esteli Ligero in this cigar. There just has to be. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we will do the cigar news of the week.
Sounds good.
You are listening to the dulcet tones of Johnny Midas and El Fumo on Burnline Podcast.
All right. And our news for the week. Thanks, Johnny Rice. Anyway, so if you remember, I think it was March, the PCA executive director stepped down to go to CAA. So now we have a new executive director at PCA. It's Josh Habarsky.
Joshua Habarsky.
Yeah, Habarsky.
Familiar with the name, but where's he coming from?
So still there. He was the premier lobbyist for PCA.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he was on the legal side.
Yeah, so he's still doing the same job, just executive now.
Okay.
So he's still doing the good work, the good Lord's work.
Good.
So
need that.
I mean, technically, he was also interim. So it's he just...
That's actually what I remember from.
So
he was the interim and they confirmed it, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, it's the same role. It's just now it's official tissue, you know. So... Josh, do some good work, man. Keep it up.
Hell yeah.
So, especially, I mean...
By the way, he doesn't like Josh. He likes to be called Joshua.
Okay.
Full name.
So. All right. Sorry, I didn't know you guys...
Sorry, Joshua. Yeah, I'm taking him out to lunch next time. He doesn't know I exist.
All right, so some pretty cool exclusive news only available in one country. You ready for this one? Anyone can guess from who?
Go ahead.
It's very left field.
Wait, the news is only available in one country?
No.
Oh, the news is available everywhere.
Everywhere. But this particular stick is only available.
Okay. New cigar, only available in one country.
Right. So out of all the ones, you would be like, what? So Eroa is going to be releasing a cigar in Bulgaria.
What the fuck?
It's called the 1118.
What? I love Eroa sticks.
So
and you can only get it in Bulgaria?
Yeah, it's only available in Bulgaria.
Okay, you know what? You keep talking. I got to Google that. What is Bulgaria? Is that like in South America?
No. But it is going to be releasing in the city of Plovdiv, Bulgaria.
That sounds Russian.
Yeah. So it's an Eastern Bloc country. But it is the 1118. It'll be available in three Vitolas, 6x48. 6x54 and 6x48. So Perfecto Vitola. So it's going to be, you know, a CLE line, but under Eroa. The 1118 is based off of his mother's birthday, November 18th. So that's pretty fucking cool. Actually, the stick price is not bad. 18 euros, so 20 bucks here in America.
Okay, so Bulgaria is north of Turkey and Thessaloniki.
Okay, so Eastern Bloc.
Yeah, so most of it is north of Greece, and like the eastern quarter is north of like kind of Turkey, and the east coast is the Black Sea, so it does have coastal regions. I knew that. I was just teasing everybody. And it's directly south of Romania. So, it's Eastern Europe.
And it's a Honduran Puro.
That's really interesting. I guess I don't know where Russia gets their cigars other than Cuba. I mean, obviously they've had a close relationship for years, but
yeah, so they get everything. I mean, they have Davidoff right literally right there.
Yeah, but there's brand, like El Septimo's one where it did kind of just break it into the US, but they're huge in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you like Oriental type of luxury, a lot of their stuff like this has like that Oriental flavor.
Yeah. Thanks for prefacing. We will got more on that later. All right. Next up on the block, Altadis, CLE, Oliva, and Rocky. How does that sound to you? Just those three names.
Say it again.
Altadis, CLE, Oliva, and Rocky. Sorry, four names. So they will be collabing. Not a stick, unfortunately. But in 2020, they had a, because of a response to COVID, PCA was canceled for that year. They did the traveling road show. So it was their own form of mini PCA, but it was hosted by them. So they will be doing that again this summer, starting July 29th through August 9th. They will be stopping at several cities. And it's actually a mini trade show. So this show is only exclusive to retailers.
So, man, I'm having trouble following. You're saying that these producers are putting together like a traveling, almost like a event?
Yeah, for retailers. So like Davidus? Yeah, like a mini PCA.
But I mean, so are they going to like a convention center and inviting retailers?
Yeah, like they're renting out spaces that are big enough.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I wonder what the genesis of that is. I mean, I like the idea.
2020, because of COVID. No PCA, so they're like, shit, we have to do our own thing.
Oh, okay, so that's how it started?
Yeah,
that's and how they're it just started. Keeping it going.
They're bringing it back up. So after a hiatus, they're like, all right, we're going to try something. It must have
worked really well.
Yeah, and plus the way the economy is.
I don't know. It just sounds like they're making enemies, though.
No, because, I mean, they're not competing. They're just
you have the retail cigar, what is it called? You know, the one for the retailers.
Yeah.
PCA is retailers. And then you have the one that's open to the general public. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess PCA is a lot bigger.
Right. But I mean, it's something cool, like to fill in. But so let me answer that as well. It's to fill in the summer gap now that PCA was in March.
Hmm.
So, I mean, and it's cool. I mean, it's something to include the retailers. That way they have something to do, you know, bring them retailer prices to restock them up, maybe some retail exclusives.
And also after March, there's going to be a lot of cigars introduced.
Yeah.
You know, because summer releases are still a thing. So who's involved?
So CLS. Altadis, CLE, Oliva, Rocky.
So Altadis is the only really big name there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting.
As far as portfolio, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They own a bunch of brands.
Yeah, but it's
they cool. also own 50% of the distribution rights of all Cuban cigars.
Yeah.
In this week's episode of Capitalism Always Wins.
So we have three opportunities to go to a show.
Okay, where are they locally?
So we have the first closest one is Alexandria.
Mm. Mm. That's a bit of a hike. We deliver there.
Yeah. Pittsburgh.
A longer hike, but.
And then Ivyville, PA, which is like north of.
Like, that's farther than Pittsburgh.
Yeah. But it's like a hair north of Philly, like just outside Philly proper.
Oh, no. No, that's closer.
Yeah. Technically, it's closer. Yeah, I think it's closer. Yeah. Oh, we could also go to PA, not Ivyville.
Ivyland, yeah. Okay. Well, we could go to Pittsburgh and visit Fat Boy Cigars.
I'd rather do that.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's pretty cool.
There are many cities you guys.
Now, we're not retailers, so.
No, but we have X. We can't get X.
We could probably, yeah. We could work something out.
So, yeah. Basically, what they're saying is like, the cigar industry is not like every other consumer brand where it's like a fierce competition. Like, when you talk about, I mean, all the cigar rollers, growers know each other and they don't talk shit about each other. They literally help each other out. So they're like, this is another way how we show that we work together. So, I mean, that's what cigars are about as well, bringing people together. Oh, look at that.
I want to show everybody my wrapper is definitely coming off. So the rumors are correct. You cannot smoke a cigar backwards or it unravels itself. I'm about halfway through, by the way.
Yeah. And then here we go. Now that Middle East news that you were talking about.
Okay, Middle Eastern news.
All right, so Fedio Daigle adds Middle East distribution. So
he, that's Ferry Otego for all Fedio. You fucking Americans. Dude, it's a New York brand. You don't have to pronounce it like, you know, in your Mexican accent. It's just Ferry Otego. Tega. Tego. How does Daigle. It end?
Tego. Geo. Daigle.
No, it's Tego.
Daigle.
It's bad. It's, kind of, it's an American brand.
Okay, Ferry Otego. Ferry Otego.
Okay, so when they sell GMs in Mexico, is it Chevrolet?
Yeah.
No, it's Chevy.
Chevy.
No, it's American. Oh, my God.
So, anyway.
Actually, it's French.
Yeah. So, they're already available in the UAE, but they're going to be available in Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, or Qatar. Depends.
Qatar. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia. And so I see basically two F1 races you can now smoke Fedio Otego at.
Hell yeah. Man, big shout out to Michael Herklotz and Ferry Otego. You guys are doing the Lord's work. Mm-hmm. And we actually had an episode, I think it was 13. It was way back. We did the Timeless Supreme and talked about, you know, Nat Sherman's contribution to the industry.
Yeah, man.
And then Herklotz was like, I'm not going to let that shit die. And just, you know, that was a labor of love. Didn't have to happen. And so I just have a lot of love in my heart for Michael Herklotz.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here's the thing. Like, Nat Sherman was the fucking, that was the New York big city luxury brand, you know. And Ferry Otego's really taken that over.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's definitely got, like, the East Coast luxury vibe, you know, old money almost.
Yeah, New Yorkish.
Yeah, New Yorkish. And that is cool. We need that in the industry.
Yeah.
So
now, the business side of the cigars, this is going to tickle your fancy. So, through April, premium cigar imports are keeping up with 2023's numbers. So, just slightly lower, but we're still good. The boom is still booming.
Yeah, it's within within variance.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
but, basically, what you're really saying is we're still catching up from COVID.
Yeah, we still are, but it's booming. It's still booming. Business is a booming. Yeah. Insert, what? Who said that? Brad Pitt.
Business is a boom.
That's right. So we're about 500 cigars under, but we're still keeping up.
I mean, did I tell you about the time that Brad Pitt consulted with me on his style for that movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
That sounds like bullshit.
That he came to Johnny Midas and was like, how do I get that California vibe? And I was like, well, thankfully in your older age, you're a little less of like a pretty boy. That helps. But yeah, I just outfitted him with some cool stuff. So anyway, what else have you got on?
Oh my God. Aladino Cameroon. I'm sorry. I'm just laughing at that. Aladino Cameroon Reserva begins shipping.
Oh, I got to get that smoke, man.
Yeah.
I love Aladino.
That's a cool box. And the stick is gorgeous looking.
Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. What's the MSRP on that?
The MSRP will, and it's a 6x52. So that's a
6x, I'll bet $14.
22.
Woo.
Yeah.
That's steep. Yeah. I'll pay it though. I'm going to smoke one of those for sure. Dude, Aladino, I will smoke anything Aladino, Aroa, CLE. I'll just smoke all of them.
Yeah.
And I've never met one of them. Like,
these will be available also in the UK, Malaysia, and Hong Kong.
Is Malaysia next to Bulgaria?
No, not at all.
God. Oh, my God. All right.
We're going to hold on. I got one last thing here. Or two things. So remember how that legal stuff we talked about?
Yeah, which legal stuff?
There's Davidoff stuff.
Oh, the lawsuit. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just saying how much of a juggernaut Davidoff is. It's like, come on, they'll take it. So Davidoff revenue for the 2023 was $613 million.
Revenue?
Yeah.
Oh, that's smaller than I thought.
Yeah, it's still pretty big.
Half a bill.
Yeah. Because
that's top line. Yeah. So if they're doing your typical, you know, their profit's only $100 million, maybe.
Yeah, but that means they can spare like $2 or $3 million a fight. I'm just saying they got the dough.
It's more than Han Soisha. That's right. What you're saying.
Yeah, they have the dough.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't pick a fight with the 800-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
You know who I hung out with last night?
Who's that?
Penny. So we've met up at the cigar shop, and he got married, and he's moving to Iowa. He got promoted to like a regional sales manager on the commercial sales side. And God, we had the Maker's Mark, you know, the special one. Smoked. What did we smoke? We smoked the Crook of the Crown and the Sober Mesa, the darker wrapper one. And that was tied in with that somehow. I can't remember how it tied in, but it reminded me of talking to him last night.
All right. Let's wrap this news segment up with Asylum. So this is a huge stick. I would love to get my hands on it. Asylum is releasing a 9x90.
Oh my God, that's a penis.
April Fool's Year of the Dragon.
Oh my God.
Well, another,
add them to the fucking lawsuit.
Yeah, we're almost halfway through here. We're still dropping Year of the Dragon. Check that out.
I love how it's an April Fool's Year of the Dragon. That is, so the April Fool's was the 9x90 original. Now it's an April Fool's
Year of the Year Dragon. Of the Dragon.
And it's after all the other Year of the Dragons.
That's right.
Fucking hats off to us. That is so Asylum. That is an Asylum move right now.
Yeah. You want to guess the retail on the stick? MSRP on the stick?
For a Year of the Dragon? 25?
Yeah. No. 42.
Oh, that's on the steep side. That's not the Vartan $107 or whatever, but
it's still cheaper on some of the other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A little bit more than the Gurkhas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so, in the Plasencia range, right?
Yeah, yep. So it is going to be made in the CLE factory in Honduras. Obviously a limited release. And you're like, we're just trying to have fun. Literally, that's what he said. We're just trying to have fun. Put something
that's
out
what
there.
He is. It's a fucking April Fool.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? But, well, you know what? Hats off. That is fucking awesome. You know what surprised me about Asylum, though, is every cigar you look at from Asylum, you expect it to hate you. Like, you expect it to be like this strong fucking, you know? Mm-hmm. But they actually have medium-bodied cigars. You know, they're big, they're dark. So many of them are dark. They've got the Asylum name brand. And you're like, oh shit, this is going to kick my ass. And surprisingly, like, they're medium-bodied. That's their claim.
Yeah. So that's what we got.
That's Filipinas, man.
All right. Before we end the news segment, you want to make a prediction of how many more Years of the Dragon releases we're going to get this year?
I feel like I'm going to lose no matter what I say. I would say it's pretty late in the year. We're halfway through. I'm going to go with one more.
I'm going to go with three. I have a feeling there's three more coming.
Right.
So we're
both. No, it's like Price is Right. It's whoever's lower without going.
All right, $1.
Without going up.
$1. No, it's just, not that I know for sure. I'm just saying it's like, if they're releasing one, there's got to be somebody else is going to be doing one yet.
I can see it happening, but I can also see it like everyone's done. Now, you know what I could see? I could see some like, I have enough tobacco for a good limited run. Eh, fuck it. We'll call it Year of the Dragon.
Right.
And I'll bet you if Davidoff wins that or dismisses that lawsuit, then we probably will have three.
Honestly, dude, because of exactly what I said, actually the quote from the roadshow, this is a family, you know, this is a community, we help each other out, this is friendly. I think some of these releases are probably like a FU to Hansoisha, like how dare you fucking sue one of us.
I agree. I think Hansoisha fucked up big time.
Like, dude, that's dumb. Like, why would you sue one of your own?
All right, so let's get back to the stick, and I've got something surprising as I'm nearing my final third, which is like this sweet cedar has picked up.
Okay,
so this definitely went from bold to less bold, right? They say bold to smooth. I don't know what that means. Smooth is overused in the cigar industry anyway, but it's definitely, you know, sweeter, and it's like, you know, the vegetal is still there. The cayenne is still there, but now there's like this honey dipped cedar strip in there. Mm-hmm. Not honey dipped, but like I took a strip of cedar and I rubbed it across the top of the honey jar. So it's just kind of picked up a film.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of aroma. It's pretty cool. And I got to say, like, I wasn't expecting much out of this cigar, you know? So why don't, you know, just being honest here. I just wasn't. Like, it's a low-dollar cigar. It's a big ring gauge, which, you know, getting flavor out of a big ring gauge is challenging, especially when you're only charging $8.99 in Maryland for a stick. I think the retail is like 760, the MSRP, okay, which is about right with the taxes in this communist state. And I might even smoke this again. Like,
it's good. I want to try it the other way.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, you know what? I want to try it the other way. So,
it's a stick that's a double Vitola, but a single Vitola.
Yeah, you can smoke it either way.
Yeah.
And so, do you have any final thoughts on taste?
Yeah, just...
You're further along.
It honestly doesn't feel any different, like, as far as smooth to bold or anything like that. Okay. Just from the initial, from the cap to the wrapper.
Okay, so the Ecuadorian Connecticut had a flavor, and then it changed when you hit the...
Right, once you hit the wrapper.
Nicaraguan Habano.
Right.
But since then, it hasn't really changed.
No, not really. So okay. I'm still getting, like I said, the that vegetal.
It's like oak and vegetal.
Yeah.
And I've got
some weird woodsy, like I said, a little jungly kind of.
Yeah, it's jungly.
A little barn.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely some barnyard in there. That's a good call.
It's not an enjoyable, like, I don't know how to, it's not like a single note. Like, there's a couple little things there too. It's pretty nuanced to keep your attention.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. So a little surprising.
Yeah.
I mean, Gran Habano makes some good cigars that are affordable. But I didn't have high expectations for this. And I think it beat my expectations. I just
never smoked anything like this. So I just think it's cool shit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I think so. So it is time to rank this cigar. We are smoking the Persian King Type Mod 60. Definitely has like this big ring gauge kingly feel to it.
That's two emperors, by the way, that we have smoked in a row.
Oh, that's right. We had the Roman Empire and now the Persian Empire.
That's right. Two empires smoking them down.
Yeah.
Burning it to the ground.
Burn line.
God, so are we empire destroyers?
We are the burners of empires. Yes. Smoking.
That's right.
All
right.
So presentation. So here's my thing. The overall presentation is obviously low dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the bulk box. And how many are in there?
Say
on the outside,
I think it's 50.
I think it's 50. It's a lot.
Yeah. 50.
Yeah. I love the
it's handwritten.
I love the Assyrian... handbag guy on the bottom. Mm-hmm. That is really cool and unnecessary. So they get points for that, actually, even though it's in the bottom of the box.
Yeah.
But so basically, yeah. That is super cool.
Yeah. So.
That is the Anunnaki.
So it's like, King. This box was meant, you know, is keeping that budget mentality in mind. So,
but
like,
then,
don't let the box fool you, like,
but then they're in there with no cello in tobacco leaves. It is a great presentation. It's not a great presentation.
And this is cool.
Tobacco beetles in it.
Yeah.
Eat the whole thing. Yeah, the inside the lid is cool. So believe it or not, I give this an 8 for presentation. I think that this is a great presentation
for what
we're trying to do here.
Yeah, this is an 8. By the way, this is a double box, if you didn't notice.
What do you mean?
So this is a retailer box. So you could either present it as this, and then this also flips out.
Sweet. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, that's pretty
shelf
cool.
Ready packaging.
I like how they thought about the retailer. Now, the fact that it doesn't have cello means it doesn't have barcode or anything. Right. All right. So, construction. Now, I've got a little flaw in my wrapper here. Got to take points for that. And yes, smoking it the wrong direction did cause the wrapper to unravel, but not to where I couldn't smoke it.
Right.
No
band to fuck with.
No band to fuck with. The draw was okay. It wasn't superb.
But that's because of two different ends.
Yeah, I mean, the way that I smoked it, mine was, it didn't burn superb. I did have to chuff it a few times to keep it going. So I would give it a solid 7 for construction.
Yeah, I'll give mine an 8. I didn't have any issues.
Okay. All right. All right, so at $8.99, you know, again, MSRP to be fair, $7.61, or a 6x60, it's a big value getting a lot of tobacco. And so, you know, the way that I look at this is, what else could I buy for the price point? And the truth is, I would pick this over a lot of cigars in that price point.
Right.
And so I've given it an 8. I think it's a pretty good price.
I was going to give it a 9 because it's not fair, like you said, because of where we're at. But like $7.50 for this massive of a stick.
And it's enjoyable.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of value around here. Like, this is bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of tobacco for not a lot of dough. It's kind of hard to find anything under $10 that's this big.
This is tasting much more like a classic Dominican as I get to the quote-unquote smooth end. Like a lot of cedar and sweetness.
Yeah, it's getting a little floral right now, honestly, now that I'm getting to that final third.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It changed. It's weird now that we're mentioning it.
Yeah. So that brings us to flavor. All right, so, you know, this is subjective. We know that. Here's what I like about the flavor. It's interesting. It kept my attention. It was good flavors. Now, it wasn't smooth. Like, the flavors weren't, like...
Yeah, it wasn't...
playing well together, you know, super nuanced. But it was a bunch of punchy flavors, and they don't contradict each other. Mm-hmm. They don't super complement. And also, they're not... You know how when you taste, like... cream of the crop, well-aged tobacco. Like, it just has a zing to it. That's not here. This is inexpensive tobacco. And that makes sense. It's an inexpensive cigar. But I've got to give it a 6 for flavor. You know, this is not in the, you know, this is not a fucking EP Carrillo by any means. But it also costs half as much.
Yeah. I was going to give it an 8, only because of that.
So we'll split it and give it a 7?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I think that's fair. I can do that. And that brings us to experience. So my experience is not superb because I don't like big ring gauge cigars. And, you know, like if I was picking all the cigars I've ever smoked and I'm like, hey, I want to have a good experience in the lounge, this wouldn't be at the top of the list. Okay. It's not at the bottom and it's probably above the middle. Use case, I don't see
a lot.
It doesn't have a lot just because of the size, I think. Like, I can see you totally smoking this on the golf course, fishing, walking the dog,
grilling.
Except it's fucking huge.
Yeah.
So if you walk the dog, you're going to have 3/4 of your cigar left. If you're grilling, you're going to have 2/3 of your cigar left. If you're golfing, you're probably smoking all, but you could smoke this on the golf course. This is medium bodied, medium strength.
It's not offensive either.
It's not offensive. It's definitely not a celebration or anything like that. This is a great stick, I think, for like a football game.
It's probably like a mid-starter cigar.
Yeah,
if you're a newbie,
I think a newbie could smoke it. It would be a little strong,
maybe
the Cayenne, you know. But it is medium body.
Yeah,
it's a lot of smoke though. You might go green in the gills just from the exposure. Didn't get a lot of nicotine strength from it.
Yeah, not a whole lot. I don't got the jitters.
Yeah, so experience. I kind of got a 6, maybe a 7.
I got an 8, so like 7 again.
And now we're going to go with a 6.
Okay.
All right, 7 it is. And that brings the total score to 38.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. High 30 showing. I would have pegged this before the show at like 33.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what we were going to get.
And only 33 because it's Gran Habano and they make some good cigars.
Right.
Some good value sticks.
Yeah, I wasn't normally right before I smoke a stick, I'm like, all right, these are the notes I'm expecting. And it was nothing like that. I couldn't even be like, this is what I'm going to get.
Here's my surprise. I don't think this tastes like a Nicaraguan cigar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a Puro. But it's really well done. There's like this meaty sweetness on the end of mine.
Yeah, I'm getting that too.
So I think it punched above its weight.
Yeah.
I think it came in better than I thought it would. And you know what? I am going to pick up another one. I'm going to smoke it the other direction.
Highly recommend picking this up, guys. A box already did sell, like a whole ass box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, already sold a whole box. So swing on by Davidoff Cigars, Westminster, Maryland. We got these on the shelf for $8.99. Great price.
For the box price of?
$404.99 for 50 sticks.
So around $350.
I can do the math in my head. So what's the cost per stick?
$7.50.
Yeah, that's $7.50, right?
Yeah.
No, it's $8. So $8 a stick if you buy a box. But
that's 50. I thought you were talking about like the actual MSRP.
That's 50 cigars.
Yeah.
So you might not want to buy a box. And there's not a box available. They're actually going fast.
Uh-huh.
But basically save $45 bucks.
Yeah, they're one. They're two out of the two boxes. The one flew off the shelf instantly.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think if you're looking for like that big cigar experience and you don't want to pay a lot of money, this great one to start
with. Yeah, and don't let the price be like, oh, it's just the cheapo. No, this is not that at all.
No, we say that a lot on the show.
Yeah.
You can't judge a cigar. I mean, you can judge a cigar by price for sure. If I pay $20, it better be a damn good cigar.
Yeah, that's different. That's going the other way.
Yeah. But you can produce a great cigar for, and some of it has to do with how much profit taking the company's willing to make. And, you know,
yeah, we smoked what $80 dud not that long ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we smoked an $80 dud not that long ago. So that is it. The Persian King Type Mod 60 from Gran Habano.
Yep.
On Burnline Podcast, coming in at a 38. Don't forget to hit us up on the socials or email us, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. We want this to be your show. Let us know what you like, what you didn't like, and let us know what your cigar smoking archetype is. And we are happy to read your email on the show if you want us to, or reference it. Right. A lot of people don't want us.
We'll take hate mail too. We don't care.
And yes, and that's fucking awesome. That is exciting. Send us the hate mail and we will make fun of you and roast you mercilessly. And that's it.
That's it.
That is it. I'm going to finish up this cigar.
Yeah, I like it.
See you again next week.